Welcome to the Quick 10 podcast, brought to you by QuickTrack, focusing on all things FedCon and cyber defense from different perspectives and different personalities, all in 10-ish minutes. Here's your host, Derek White.
All right, welcome back to another episode of the Quick 10 podcast here in Tampa, Florida, and I'm joined today by Chuck Orlowski from GE. Chuck, thanks for hanging out for a few minutes.
Well, thank you for having me. Just to introduce myself, my name is Chuck Orlowski. I am the CISO of GE Vernova Advanced Research, one of the 14 subdivisions of GE Vernova, which happens to be the largest energy portfolio in the world.
That doesn't sound like a big deal at all. So that's good.
Yeah, well, I mean, and of course, with my role,
I was just going to say, from a CISO's perspective, which is what we're going to talk about, there's a lot there.
And it makes me one of the least popular people in the world.
I definitely can believe that. Yes. So before we get into a little bit about that, you know, we're here at a CMMC focused event.
Okay.
What, you know, a lot of people call an ecosystem event or ecosystem summit or whatever we're calling it. But this is CUICon, CUICon. You've been to a couple events now over the last year. We were talking about this.
Yep.
How do you feel the energy and the attitude things are now that some things have moved along around CMMC versus, say, like a year ago?
So I feel like there's a lot of change. There's a lot of consternation, right? Because now it's becoming real.
Mm-hmm.
We're not hypothesizing.
Mm-hmm.
The attendance here is much bigger than the last CUICon I was at. So that's a great sign that mm-hmm. we're seeing people become engaged, mm-hmm. want to learn more. And I think it's a mixed bag. I'm sure you guys have seen that too. Like, there's some people that it's like, okay, we've been marching down this road. We're good. We're getting reinforcement here. We're getting clarity on things that we were uncertain of.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got the people who are the deer in the headlights, and it's like, oh my, what do I do?
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. There's definitely a weird balance over the last handful of years of the early adopters, you know, feeling a little frustrated that I'd like to showcase this more, you know, when is that coming, to the people who said, I'm just going to wait, and then everything in between. So you're in the role of a chief information security officer, and you've had probably ups and downs, challenges, you said, maybe a little unpopular for some people, or most popular for some people.
That would be putting it mild.
Yeah, talk about that a little bit. From your perspective, your role, it's a little bit different than those that are, you know, coming from the other side. Talk about that a little bit.
Sure. So, you know, one of the biggest challenges in my role is dealing with the cultural shift. You know, I have a saying, it's amazing the level of mental gymnastics that many people have been doing for years in an effort to interpret their way out of compliance. And we are now at the point that there is no more road. So, you know, security has always been secondary, right? So I say it like this, right? The C-suite understands IT.
Mm-hmm.
IT, in their definition, is laptops, things they can touch.
Such
security is an intangible moving target that there's no quantifiable return for it. So that makes it harder.
Yeah.
So it's getting people to understand, listen, I'm not here to tell you no. I am here to help you color within the line so we can continue to operate in the government space.
That's well put. And you'll probably get a kick out of an example I always use. And if this, I don't think this gentleman that I'm not going to name is probably going to watch this because he's now retired. But years ago, when we were new to what we were doing 8 years ago, we were in a meeting with a first time CFO. They were frustrated. You could tell there was some dynamic happening internally. This is a large, like probably $70 million company, decent sized company. And they were kind of arguing. We're sitting there going, okay, I think that's why we're here, because there's some dysfunction going on. And it was funny for a first-time CFO who was seasoned. You know, he wasn't a out of college kind of CFO. He knew what he was doing. He said, well, we need new servers. We need to be more secure. I can get that check right now from the people in this room. I say I want a security assessment for make up a number, not as much. They laugh at me and they kick me and they yell at me. And so the problem was they had an incident where all their endpoints had to get replaced, all the things they could touch and feel. They were happy to write those checks, and then they immediately were, we're more secure now because we have new endpoints, and it's all up to you. But however, had you spent that time on security, not just technology, you probably wouldn't be in this position right now. You'd value your return on a security investment, which is a tough thing to get. So thank you for highlighting that. That's a huge, now, you're GE, you're a CISO. There's a lot of people in this space, a lot of organizations trying to figure this out that don't have a you. They don't have a Chuck, right? They have a Chuck, but Chuck wears nine hats and, you know, there's a lot going on.
And the reality is, in what is actually my wheelhouse, you know, CMMC is 35%,
yeah.
DT, IT, and 65% everything else.
Yep.
And that's the hard part.
Yep.
I have spent the past year trying to convince leadership that it's like, I can build you your environment. I can put these controls in place, but the majority of this is on you.
Yeah.
And again, cultural shift. Security is everyone's responsibility. Security by design.
Have you seen that? Security by design. I love it. I love that term. You know, from a culture shift back to that. Any examples of how you've seen that take a large step forward? Maybe not just because CMMC is more real, but in general, have you seen a positive movement towards the culture being accepted and that shift happening?
Are we talking overall or my?
I would say overall, from your perspective.
I think attendance here and the way I've watched people interact with the vendors, you know, not just passively going by, I have observed very deep conversations. I think there is more of an awareness.
Yep.
And I think it's, you know, like a tsunami. It comes in slow and it just builds and builds and builds. It'll be interesting to see what the late summer and fall events like this have. I think we're going to have a lot more people who are very distressed.
Agree. And I think that's the learning. We're going to see some great stories. We're going to see some probably not so great stories, but it's all lessons learned, which is great for everyone to be on the same page.
It's only learned by consequence, right? Anyone that has children knows. You can tell your children until you're blue in the face, don't touch the stove, it's hot. Everyone's got to burn themselves.
That is true.
It's very sad. I put a post up on LinkedIn recently where I said it's unfortunately regrettable that no one wants to listen to this. We are going to have to see some major players get hurt very badly before people want to change.
Yep. Well, and you know, a company of your size, an organization of your size, that is one of the warning shots that's been kind of sent out. Is the analogy that I like to use, another analogy. Here we go. But is if people who donate blood on a regular basis, right?
Yeah.
If you get a call that says, hey, one of the people that was a recipient of your blood tested positive for something like hepatitis or something, they call you and they say,
drops out,
and you're like, well, it can't be me. I do this every week. And they said, well, we know it's probably not you. We can't legally tell you that. But you know what you have to do? Quality control. You have to go and get tested.
Yeah.
And then they approve you again. Well, nobody wants to be on the bottom of that list when someone else is in trouble trying to find, we'll call it excuses for now, but like, we better make sure all the way down. That's a really scary moment. We're seeing that. The primes are in a different position than they have been, and contracting officers have some more guidance on how to do things. And
for our supply chain.
Yep. And then you have that same flow down responsibility, specifically from a security perspective. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, that's been a shock for us. Some of our supply chain is, you know, literally looking at us like we're crazy. And why didn't you tell us this before? And how do we do this? And, you know, one thing I see coming, I don't think anyone's worked out the details yet, but I've been an innovator since I first got into technology. I think you're going to see compliance as a service. You are going to see some smart folks build that compliant environment, micro segment it, offer fractional use of the resources to monitor the non-DT side of this, and do it in a per month, per user fashion. I think that's a great way to solve the supply chains, because your smaller mom and pops can't handle this financial lift.
That's where we live. Yeah. We swim and we play in that sandbox every day. You're right. And it is a culture, though. That's another thing, too, that the idea of that for those that understand technology makes a little more sense. But for those who don't, we're so accustomed as humans, right, to maybe immediately not trust what you just heard, because you're kind of like, I don't know if I want to do this. But people in your role understand what has to fit you guys, and then down, right? That you have a tough job. So
you want another analogy?
I do, really bad. Yes.
Humans are like water. We will always take the path of least resistance. Atomized into the air, we're almost harmless. Concentrated into a stream, we're the most destructive force on this planet.
Oh, that's deep. That should be a t-shirt.
Yeah, what's too many words?
Well, you don't need a t-shirt with that.
No, not with my whiskey in a bottle.
Oh, that's so great.
It's Friday, so you know,
that is true.
We've got to have a little color.
That is, I like that. No, make it fun. So, okay, cool. So anything, let's one more question on the, maybe the opposite side. So there's a lot to go still, right? Yes. You have a lot of, obviously a lot of things on your plate. Where are some things that you hope to see get maybe more straightened out, more clear, that really helps you, the CISO, and your team who are culture shifting and getting more focused?
So I hope that we are going to see significantly better contract language, much more clarity. I know the DOD has recognized that there needs to be more accountability on their end, because you can get a contract in that may not say CUI, but if you don't understand the layers of the cake, you can create CUI in the performance of this contract and put yourself in a bad place because you just didn't do your due diligence.
Yep.
And most people with the contract, so I say the verbiage of the contract, that's the icing, right? That's the top. Nobody wants to get down into the layers.
Yeah.
What does this mean? You know, is this something I'm developing inadvertently for an aerospace or military application? Now that brings things in scope. And then, you know, just folks understanding scoping, because another analogy, CUI is like creamer in your coffee. Once it's in there, you ain't getting it out.
So many ideas here. Thank you for giving us thoughts on marketing. I'm just kidding. No, that's good. That's a good one, too. I and everybody likes their coffee a little different.
Right.
We saw a presentation yesterday by somebody on our team. George Perez Diaz from our team did the last. Were you here yesterday for all the, for the final session?
Yes.
Of the day, when he talked about, not to step on his touchdown dance, maybe when he talks later, but you know, he made the nice fun analogy of being at home making breakfast.
Yeah. Yeah.
The requirement from his family, specifically his wife and his daughter, was, I want toast. So he made toast. I don't like this toast. It's like, the requirement says make toast. I made toast. I'm sorry, George, if I stole that from you, but that's a good, you know, so do you want it buttered? If it's too much butter, it's, you know, it's, and that's.
Do you want French toast?
Do you want regular dry toast?
Yeah, we putting cinnamon and sugar on your buttered toast.
Yeah. And so the requirement says make toast. Now, and again, we'll wrap here, but that is you specifically, if you're not a CISO, but even if in that role of who's owning this thing, who's the champion, who is the affirming official going to be for a self-assessment, for example, before you even have a C3PO requirement. Has to own that, but you have an accountability push here to keep everybody on the same page. The requirements say what they say. You have to decide for GE and your suppliers, your supply chain, how they do it is a strategy. And you're right, it is getting better. You know, we are one of many providers here. We all do things a little differently. Some will say competitors, sure, but we're also solving a lot of problems, and there's a lot of problems to be solved. So, yeah, great viewpoints on that. Thank you, Chuck.
Baby steps up the mountain.
That's good. Yeah, it is. There was supposed to be a crawl, walk, run.
Well,
right?
You know, we can take a saying from the military days, slow is smooth and smooth is fast.
And sure.
Most people just need to, you know, think this through.
Yeah.
Step one step at a time. Don't rush. You can't do everything at once. You have to, you know, figure out what you can do and focus, or figure out what you can't do, excuse me, and focus on what you can do. That's the best way to approach this. Everyone has a part of their business that they know they can do well with this. Get moving with that. And then look for and engage the additional resources that can fill in the gaps where you're lacking.
Yeah. Well said. Well said. Well, thank you. I know it's a busy day, and I appreciate you stepping aside.
Awesome spending time with you guys. Great to be here.
Yeah. Yeah. So are you active in the community on LinkedIn or something? Do you want to find you somewhere?
Can find me on LinkedIn. I'm pretty sure it's listed as Charles Orlowski. It's an avatar, sort of looks like me. Can't miss me.
Like,
you know, and if you're interested in the energy portfolio, GEvernova.com, we light up the world. You know, I live in the House of Edison, so actually Advanced Research Center. Just one final thing.
Wow, sweet.
One of the greatest parts of my job is every day when I walk in, I walk past Thomas Edison's original desk. And I stand there for a moment and kind of take it in. And the quote behind it says, I figure out what the world needs and I invent it.
Wow. You are full of deep cuts today. This is great.
Well, I mean, it's
that's
inspiring.
Good. That is. That's awesome.
And I've been to, so
do that.
We're just outside of Albany. Next to it is Schenectady, which is the original manufacturing plant.
Yeah.
Where the original light bulb is.
Really?
And to, you know, just to see this history, right? And understand where we came from, right? Mm-hmm. So my business unit has always been known as the innovation engine of GE. So it is inspiring to go in there, and it's why I kind of taken this approach. It's like, you know what, I'm going to figure a way out of this. What would Edison do?
Nice. I like that. Another t-shirt. Well, I probably can't use that. You probably get in trouble.
Yeah, it's copyright.
Yeah. That's good. Well, thank you, Chuck. I really do appreciate the time. Enjoy the rest of the conference, and then we'll sync up sometime in the future and see how things are going.
Awesome. Sounds great.
Thank you for listening to this episode, and make sure to subscribe to the Quick 10 Podcast wherever you get your podcasts, and check us out on YouTube as well. For more information about QuickTrack, visit our website at www.quicktrack.com. That's CUICKTRAC.com.